the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's epistle, the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 3, the mystery was made known to me by revelation, and verses 9 and 10, the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known. So we have entered a new year and a new decade, and today we conclude our Christmas festivities and celebrations with the Epiphany, a mysterious feast on many levels. The Magi, the wise men, these kings, these astrologers were in the east last week, surrounding the altar, and they have crept down the church during the week, and today we have carried them to the Christ child, where now they kneel and worship him. During the week, I was explaining to a woman I did not know why the church keeps the arrival of the wise men after Christmas itself, that is, on the 12th day, the actual feast day in the calendar having by tradition been January the 6th. The woman was surprised. Like most people, she assumed the wise men were part of the Christmas Day event. She had never connected the concept of the Epiphany with the carol, the 12 days of Christmas. One of the reasons why that carol is about the lover bringing a gift to the beloved is because it is to do with the kings arriving 12 days after Christmas. Of course, in actual fact, they arrive much later, up to 2 years, according to the understanding of the scripture. As our conversation continued, she, expressing her typical sense of humour, said it was wise men, but if it had been three wise women, they would have brought some sensible gifts, cleaned up the stable, and arrived on time. Be it as it may, the three wise men and their arrival is a mysterious addition to the Nativity story in the proper sense of the word. And we all love a mystery, don't we? The whole journey was mysterious. We can only comprehend how they travelled from whatever distance they came. Some say they came from Persia. Some say they came from Arabia. And in some traditions, one is black and one is Chinese. So the sense is they have come a long way over 2 years, perhaps. Following that star for such a long time, they were obviously astrologers who saw in it some meaning. These kings, these wise men, these astrologers, arrived finally at a stable of all places, having called in at the palace in Jerusalem. And oh, this newborn baby there lying in the manger as a king. The great Anglican writer T.S. Eliot wrote a poem called The Journey of the Magi. And he writes in it of a difficulty they faced in their journey. The poem begins with one king saying, "A cold coming we had of it," and describes a journey through the depths of winter. And it goes on to describe the enormous difficulties of the journey. And it concludes, probably because of the gift of myrrh, with the wise men reflecting on death, and of course the death of Christ. King and God and sacrifice, we sang in the ancient carol. But we don't think of the journey and what it must have been like. We dwell on the star and the gifts and the arrival of the kings in all its mysteriousness. In fact, their arrival is more significant than the journey itself, and is perhaps a parable of our own lives also. We who journey through life and, of course, hope to arrive one day at our heavenly homeland. So as we begin this year of our Lord 2010 and leave last year behind, we are probably thinking of our journey ahead and what we have left behind now that we have arrived at this new year, this new decade. And as we reflect, as I'm sure all of you did on New Year's Day, We can say that our journey through life is fraught with both joy and sadness, with both disappointment and pleasure. And every year, as we reflect, we look forward in hope to a better year. And in contrast, when we arrive at something that seems significant, we have new vision and new hope for what lies ahead. The mystery of life, we might call it. St. Paul talks about mystery in his letter to the Ephesians in a particular way. For him, the nativity of Christ is arrival at the revelation of God's mystery and the fulfillment of all the ancient mysteries. In a way, that's what the wise men represent, all those ancient mysteries and philosophies and religions, now arriving at the feet of the newborn Christ child, who St. Paul says is the revelation of God's mystery through the ages. And this, in a way, is the particular meaning of this feast. It is the arrival of all the ancient stuff at the feet of this fulfillment of the ancient mysteries, this revelation of God's mystery. Christmas is also about the arrival of Christ, our Lord, not just the wise men. And there is also a sense of mystery in the arrival of both Christ and the wise men. For their arrival today points to a mysterious presence, the presence of God in that little manger. And this is the mystery of all mysteries, that God would lower himself and be in that squalor and humility as the revelation of all the mysteries of God. The presence of God in the manger. In my sermon here on Christmas Day, I spoke of presence as a reality adding quality to our lives. Presence. The presence in our lives of those we love and the presence of God in life. Many people think that the Christian religion is about action and activity and preaching. Indeed, as the year unwinds, we'll be exhorted by those in our church to be active, to go to action. And you will be preached about that, not just in sermons, but in what you read. These things, action, activity and preaching, are surely just the result of what is really at the heart of Christianity. For at the heart of Christianity is not the activity, but the presence of Christ amongst us. The quiet, humble presence that we acknowledge today, and the mysterious presence through the year, through our lives. That is the heart of the Christian religion, the presence of Christ. And that is why the Eucharist is the centre of our life as Christians. For here we encounter the presence of Jesus and receive that presence into our very selves. So the presence of God, in all its mysteriousness, becomes real and alive within us, so that somehow we might be the presence of Christ in the world. As these three kings kneel, worship, and adore, we are surely drawn by them to the presence of God in the manger. God's relationship with the world has come to this point in time. God created the world. God formed his own people, Israel. He sent prophets to them. Now he comes to his world in a personal presence. These three kings, recognizing this fact, kneel and adore. And this is how it must be. As I said on Christmas Day, in our lives we cannot bear to leave friendship and love at a distance. It is the same with God. He does not want to be at a distance from us. He wants to be a presence in our lives. And his personal presence is not beyond our grasp. It is within kneeling distance, as these three kings show us. Later on in this Mass, we will reach out our hands for that same presence of God. And again, we will be just within kneeling distance of his presence. And like them, we will not be disappointed. You see, the mystery of the Epiphany is also the mystery of Holy Communion. For the personal presence of Christ is not left at the manger, but is offered wherever God's people celebrate the Eucharist. And so with these three kings, we come today to adore and acknowledge both the mystery of that presence and the presence of that mystery. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.